am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. And we want to welcome you to this Monday edition of Jesus Made Me Kosher. We're coming to you live from the studios of WLQV and also live via Skype from the studios of Congregation Shema Yisrael, Rabbi Glenn Harris and Rabbi Lauren Jacobs. And we're delighted to be with you today. And this is a very significant week this week, isn't it, Rabbi Lauren?
It is, Glenn. The fall holidays are upon us. They begin Wednesday evening with Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, although technically it's Yom Teruah, the day to sound the shofar, and then followed 10 days later by Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, and then 5 days after that with Sukkot, the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles. So we are getting into the fall holidays, which are very significant and meaningful. And it's the beginning of the seventh month on God's calendar, seven being the number of completion and fulfillment. So there's all kinds of meaningful, deep things connected to the Jewish roots of the Christian faith happening this the next couple weeks.
Yeah, and so Wednesday evening not only begins the new calendar month in the Jewish calendar, it begins the new Jewish year, at least the new civil year. It's going to be the year 5772. And now, Rabbi Lauren, what is the context, the background on this festival, which is commonly called Rosh Hashanah, which I'm sure most of our listening audience is familiar with? And by the way, if you are tuning in, we're glad to have you here. Rabbi Lauren and I are the congregational leaders at Congregation Shema Yisrael. You can find us on the web at shema.com, S-H-E-M-A.com. We welcome you to check out our many articles and things there. But Rabbi Lauren, Wednesday evening, it's such a significant time of year, this seventh month, and it's all beginning on the first day of the seventh month, which corresponds this week to a Wednesday evening. But can you give us the background on Yom Teruah, the Feast of Trumpets?
Sure. And actually, I'd like to start with the beginning of God's calendar, which takes place in the fall, usually around March or April in the spring. And that's really the Jewish New Year is in the spring. And it makes sense that God's New Year, his calendar, would start in the spring when everything is alive and green and growing. And, you know, not in the dead of winter, like we start our new year, you know, January 1st, when everything is dead and cold and in a state of hibernation. But God's new year starts in the spring. And then there's four spring holidays, starting with Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Feast of First Fruits, followed 50 days later by Shavuot or weeks. And these are the spring holidays that, you know, begin Israel's history as a nation. They're agricultural holidays connected with the spring. And they're also connected to the first coming of Messiah. Messiah came his first time, like in the spring, to give new life. He died on Passover in fulfillment of Passover. His spirit was given to more of the harvest of humanity on Shavuot or Pentecost 50 days later. The gospel, the good news, has spread to all the nations, and the we're getting ready for the harvest, the final harvest, which is the fall, the second coming, the seventh month, and the month of completion. And there are three holidays that fall in the seventh month in the fall: Yom Teruah, the day we blow the shofar, otherwise known as Rosh Hashanah, followed 10 days later by Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, followed 5 days later by Sukkot, the final ingathering festival of the harvest, where we go up to Jerusalem for the third and final time.
How do people, how do Jewish families celebrate Yom Teruah or Rosh Hashanah at home? How do they celebrate it at synagogue? I know we are going to be talking about the significance of the blowing of the ram's horn, what we call a shofar, but there's other things associated with this first fall holiday.
There are. If a Jewish family is serious about Yom Teruah or Rosh Hashanah, this first day of the seventh month, they'll take the day off. They won't go to work. In fact, the book of Leviticus 23 tells us to take the first day of this very special seventh month off and have a day of rest and have a special gathering and not do any kind of ordinary work. So Jewish people who are serious will just take the day off and they'll turn their attention to God. Jewish families will have often a special gathering at home, have a extra festive meal, maybe the evening of Rosh Hashanah before you go to synagogue, or maybe on Rosh Hashanah Day. So that's how it's celebrated in the family, with a family getting together with friends and having a very special meal together. It's primarily, however, celebrated at synagogue. The community goes to synagogue, and we offer special prayers. And really, the essence of this day is to hear the shofar being blown. So that is, one of the main purposes is to hear the shofar being blown, and it has a number of meanings, which we will get into. And then also, it's a tradition among the Jewish people on the day of Rosh Hashanah in the afternoon that you go to a body of water, and it could be a stream or a river, and you throw bread or breadcrumbs into the water. This is a ceremony known as Tashlich, and it's based on a verse that's found at the end of the prophet Micah, the last verses of Micah. It says in Micah, who is a God like you who pardons sin, who passes over the rebellious act of the remnant of his possession? He doesn't retain his anger forever. He delights in unchanging love. God will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. Yes, you will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. So, the prophets of Israel often chastise the Jewish people for our many sins and the punishments that were coming due to our sins. But here is a wonderful promise that God, when he is finished with the nation of Israel, is going to completely forgive all of our sins and make us righteous and wholesome in his sight. So this custom of tashlich, taking the bread or breadcrumbs and emptying them into a body of water to remind ourselves of this wonderful promise that God will cast all of the sins of the Jewish people into the sea where they will be found no more.
It reminds me of the words of Psalm 103, as far as east is from the west, so far has he removed our sins from us. And I'm guessing that probably not a good idea to throw the crumbs into a pool, because there they sit and they don't go anywhere. And the whole idea is if you throw something into a river or a stream, it's carried away, never to be seen again. It's just a beautiful picture. Now, the main thing that takes place on Rosh Hashanah, or what we like to call Yom Teruah, the Feast of Trumpets, or the Day of Blowing, is the blowing of the shofar. And there are many reasons for it, and there's a lot of symbolism, a lot of history behind that. In Leviticus, Exodus, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the sons of Israel. No, this is Leviticus 23, saying in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a rest, a reminder by blowing of shofars or trumpets. And it wasn't a Louis Armstrong kind of a trumpet. It is a ram's horn. God calls it a holy convocation. And there are, at least in our reckoning, at least 12 very good and important reasons that we blow the shofar. Could you begin to take us through that, Rabbi Lorne?
I would love to. Reason number one why we blow the shofar. When we hear the shofar, we remember God's kingship, that he is the great king. In ancient Israel, when there was a new king who came to power, often his reign was announced by heralds by the blowing of the shofar. So when we hear the shofar, we are to remember that God is the great king. And I think it's good for us as Messianic believers to remember that Messiah Yeshua, the Lord Jesus, is King of kings and Lord of lords, and all of us, Jew and Gentile, need to be his obedient subjects.
Malchuyot, kingship. Well, another reason that we blow the shofar is that we hear that shofar and we're to remember to be God's worshipers. Yeshua declared God seeks those who will worship him in spirit and truth. And so he is calling us to be his worshipers. And the shofar actually heads the list of instruments from Psalm 150 used to worship God. It's written, praise him with the shofar.
Yes, God is seeking worshipers. He wants us to really know him and worship him in spirit as opposed, you know, in a rote ritualistic way that's not genuine, not connected to God, because anyone could worship God, you know, just using rituals. But we worship him in spirit and in truth as opposed to error. So when we hear that shofar being blown, we remember to be God's true worshipers. Reason number three, when we hear the shofar, we are to remember our need to repent. The sounding of the shofar is a call to repentance. Here's a scripture verse, blow a shofar in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain, consecrate a fast, proclaim a solemn assembly, return to me, repent with all your heart, with fasting, weeping, mourning. Tear your hearts, not your garments.
That's so Joel chapter 2, I believe.
Could be.
Yeah, Joel 2, 12 and 13. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God. Wow, it's powerful stuff.
That is powerful. So when we hear that shofar, it is, you know, a piercing sound. It is a call to repentance. And, you know, Rabbi Glenn, even as Christians and Messianic Jews, you know, we can stray from the Lord. We do things wrong in thought, in word, in deed. There's things that we do that we shouldn't do. There's things that we don't do that we should do. So it is a good thing for periodically for believers, Christians, Messianic Jews, to be called to repentance.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And better we should humble ourselves and come to him than him have to get us with a cosmic 2x4 and force us into repentance. I mean, he'll do what he needs to do because he will bring us to the goal. He will complete the work that he began in us. But so much better, I agree, if we will humble ourselves and repent.
Yes.
Well, we've got a fourth reason also. When we hear the shofar, we are to remember the faithfulness of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And especially with Abraham, the ram's horn, the shofar, reminds us of the Akedah, which is the Hebrew word for binding. When in Genesis chapter 2, we read of Abraham being called by God to offer up Isaac on Mount Moriah, and Abraham, as far as he was concerned, was going through with it. And because of this act of faith, God promised to bless the Jewish people and to give us victory over all of our enemies. So when we hear the shofar, one of these things is it's a reminder of our covenant with God, originally through Abraham. And because of his faith and that of Isaac and Jacob, God has favored and showered his love on the Jewish people, not because we're anything special, but really because of his love and his promises to the patriarchs.
Yes, but one thing, Rabbi Glenn, you said it was Genesis 2, and really it's Genesis
22. I'm sorry.
22.
Yeah. 22.
Yes, this wonderful passage about Abraham being asked to sacrifice Isaac, and he's willing to do it, and he's about to, you know, plunge his knife into the, you know, maybe the chest of his son or whatever, kill him in some way with a knife. And the Lord says, don't do that. And suddenly, you know, a ram is caught, and the ram is substituted for the life of Isaac. And Genesis 22, the Akedah, the binding of Isaac, is one of the passages that is traditionally read on the Feast of Trumpets.
I've always felt that it was so amazing and significant that Genesis chapter 22, the binding, the Akedah, is read in synagogues all across the world on this same day. And for those with eyes to see, ears to hear, Genesis chapter 22 is a powerful, powerful foreshadowing of Messiah Yeshua, the beloved Son of the Father, the one who on a different mountain. Well, actually, the same mountain.
It was the same mountain.
It was Moriah. It was Jerusalem. And the same mountain, the beloved son of the father, even to the point of where Isaac carried the wood on which he was to be offered, Yeshua, Jesus, carried the wood on which he ultimately was offered. I think it is not coincidental, and I think it is marvelous that this passage of Scripture, among all of them, is the one that is highlighted at this festival.
Yeah, so when we hear the shofar, we remember the binding of Isaac on Mount Moriah, and I think we should remember the binding of Messiah, the Lamb of God. You know, God told Abraham that he would provide a lamb for the burnt offering in place of Isaac. Well, I mean, what a powerful picture. Messiah, the Lamb of God, who is God's provided for the sin of us all. And so the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world was bound and offered on that same spot Isaac was 2,000 years later. How cool is that, Rabbi Glenn?
It's phenomenal. It's phenomenal. And I can only hope that our people, who for the most part still are in unbelief, still not recognizing Messiah Yeshua, and that this passage of Scripture is the one that is going to be read and talked about on Yom Teruah or Rosh Hashanah. And interesting also that Abraham, when he said to the other young men who had come with them, I and the lad will go yonder and we will worship and we will return to you. Both those verbs are in the first person plural. So we will go, we will return to you. Abraham, and of course the writer of the letter to the Messianic Jews, Hebrews, seizes on this to say that Abraham reckoned in his heart, look, God promised me that through this child, this supernatural child born well beyond Sarah's childbearing years and mine, this child would be the one through whom that covenant continues. And yet he's asking me to offer him up as a sacrifice on this mountain. Abraham came to the inescapable conclusion that if this is the case, then God must be able to raise him from the dead, because it is through Isaac that my descendants will be named, and through Isaac that covenant continues. So Abraham believed even then that God raises the dead, and I think it's important that we bear that in mind as well.
It is. When we hear the shofar, we are to remember a greater shofar, a heavenly shofar that accompanied the revelation of the giving of the Torah, the divinely inspired law and teaching on Mount Sinai. It says that when the Lord, you know, descended and came to Mount Sinai, you know, in smoke and fire, that it was accompanied by the sound of the shofar, which grew louder and louder and louder. So that really happened, and this tremendous revelation where God himself spoke to all the nation of Israel, the Aseret HaDibrot, the Ten Commandments, that really happened. And I think that should remind us that the Ten Commandments are divinely inspired. But really, Rabbi Glenn, all of the Torah, all of the divine teaching from Genesis through Revelation is divinely inspired. And we should pay attention to every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. So when we hear the shofar, we should remember, you know, the shofar on Mount Sinai, that, you know, pay attention to the word of God. The Ten Commandments are the word of God, but all of the Bible is the divinely inspired word of God.
And Rabbi Lauren, I hope you won't mind. This is a blessed digression, because I know that as you've taught, for example, on the day of Shavuot or Pentecost, you remind us that 3,000 Israelis died at the giving of the law, but at the giving of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 came alive. I think it's a beautiful picture there that the law or the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So I had to throw that in, because I've always admired that, how you put that together, that teaching. But we have other reasons as well that we blow the shofar and why we're called to assemble and to hear it. When we hear the shofar, we are to remember the words of the prophets, as it is written, I set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the shofar. And so the Israel's prophets were like a shofar, that horn that's blasted to warn us of danger. You know, Israel was judged for ignoring the prophets. And we must pay attention to the prophets of Israel, especially Israel's greatest prophet ever, Messiah Yeshua. If we neglect the teaching of the prophets and if we neglect Yeshua's teaching, we will suffer very serious consequences for that. You know, Rabbi Lauren, we're coming up toward the end of the show. Before I forget, I want to give out the information about our Rosh Hashanah, our Yom Teruah services. They begin Wednesday evening, correct?
They do. Wednesday evening at 7:30, it's open to the public. We don't charge for tickets like many non-Messianic synagogues do for high holiday tickets. It's open to the public. We meet Wednesday evening at 7:30 at the facilities of Bloomfield Hills Baptist Church, right on Telegraph Road. We'll meet again Thursday morning at 10:30. Again, it is open to the public, but I also want people to know that we want people to dress up a little bit. Don't come in your jeans and, you know, Nike tennis shoes and
it
you
is
know,
a
sweatshirt.
Very formal time. That's right. It's a formal time of year. Jewish people are taking things seriously, and our attire reflects that.
Well, these days are special, and so, you know, it's a special day. You honor it by, you know, dressing nicer. You honor, you know, God's people by dressing nicer. You honor God himself, you know, by dressing nice for, you know, when you appear before him on a special day like this. I mean, if you were invited to the White House, you wouldn't show up in, you know, jeans and a sweatshirt. You would probably, you know, dress nice. And we are appearing before, you know, the King of Kings, so we want to dress up a little bit. We will be having, you know, it's traditional to have sweet things to eat because this is a time of ending and new beginning and harvest and sweetness. So we eat sweet things as part of our tradition, as part of a hope, a prayer that God will bless us with sweet things. So we eat things like apples and honey and challah, you know, delicious bread with honey and honey cakes and fruits from the harvest. So yeah, we invite people to join us Thursday evening at 7:30.
That's Wednesday evening.
Evening at 7:30 and Thursday day at 10:30 at Bloomfield Hills Baptist Church.
And you'll be able to hear the shofar being blown, perhaps several shofars being blown this year. And you'll hear messages from the Word of God. Rabbi Lauren will be preaching. I'll be preaching. And we certainly would like to have you there. Maybe, Rabbi Lauren, in our remaining minute or so, we can review, because we've got more reasons why we blow the shofar. But maybe we ought to review what we've looked at today.
I think we should, Rabbi Glenn. When we hear the shofar, we remember that God is the great King. We remember to be God's worshipers. We remember our great need to repent, to turn to God genuinely and get reconnected to him. We remember the faithfulness of the patriarchs, Abraham and Isaac, the binding of Isaac. We should remember the greater binding of Messiah, the lamb that God provided to take care of our greatest needs. We remember the heavenly shofar that accompanied the revelation of the giving of the Torah on Mount Sinai, that all of what God said is divinely inspired. And we should remember the words of the prophets. They're like a shofar calling us to God, to repentance, to truth. You know, against the worldliness and materialism.
And we want to encourage you, our listeners, to visit the Shema website. It's www.shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. On the left side of our homepage, you'll find a list of various resources, and you can go under Most Important Articles. You'll find articles there on the various holidays. You'll find things about these fall holidays that we're entering into now. And also, we invite you to join join us this Wednesday evening at 7:30 at 3600 Telegraph Road, Bloomfield Hills Baptist Church. Join us to hear the shofar being blown again Thursday morning at 10:30. Come and experience worship, perhaps like you've never experienced it before. We'd love to have you there, and stick around and join us for fellowship and sweet things. And we want to say a hearty shalom to Metro Detroit.
Jesus Made Me Kosher is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael, a community of Messianic Jews and kosher-hearted Gentiles who serve the three-in-one God of Israel. You can join us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. If you'd like more information or have questions, you can also reach us by phone at 248-593-5150. That's 248-593-5150. To hear how Jesus can make you kosher, join us every weekday at 3:30 right here on Faith Talk 1500.